Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to think about your word to us this morning, we pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to receive all that you long to share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. Can you hear me all right? Excellent. The last soldiers went over the top at 4:20 a.m. on the 11th of November, 1918. The armistice was signed at 5 a.m. in a railway carriage in the forest of Compiègne, France. Then at the 11th hour on the 11th month in 1918, the guns of Europe fell silent. The Great War was over. On that morning alone, there were 10,944 casualties and 2,738 deaths on the Western Front. The following year, King George V issued a proclamation which called for a 2-minute silence. All locomotion should cease so that in perfect stillness, the thoughts of everyone may be concentrated on reverent remembrance of the glorious dead. Each year since then, at the 11th hour of the 11th month, the 2-minute silence is observed by the British Legion and in the Commonwealth countries, remembering the end of the First World War. We too gather here in this parish church to remember and hope for the future. Both our readings this morning are often read at funeral services, where we remember the person who has died and give thanks to God for his or her life. David's psalm of hope for the future, even though we will all go through difficult trials and tribulations, but ending in the glorious picture of the table prepared for us to sit at. And then Jesus' promise in John's Gospel, a home for us in heaven, that special place prepared when Jesus calls us home. Let me begin with a statement of the obvious. We are all different. Just take a look around. We not only look different, we think differently too. This difference has consequences because no one sees the world quite like we do. And so it's inevitable as we go through life, especially when we are sure about what we believe and feel is right, that we sometimes disagree with people. In other words, we argue. We argue about little things, like leaving the top of the toothpaste off, or socks not being unravelled before they put in the laundry basket, or even that butter tastes different. We sometimes argue with ourselves, and whilst looking in the mirror, give ourselves a good talking to. We argue about big things like religion and politics, though we're probably a bit more reluctant to make our views known, mindful of the consequences. So, for example, here among us are Conservatives and Labour, Liberal Democrats, and for all I know, members of the Raving Loony Party. And yet, here we are. We've learnt to navigate this difference. We live with it. At our best, we may even celebrate it. The last few years have been tumultuous for our nation and the world. Our differences have been pushed to the limits. COVID-19, Afghanistan, parts of Africa, the atrocities in the Middle East, the dreadful war in Ukraine, perpetrated by a Russian despot, and the many refugees, many who have died, desperately seeking a safe place to live. Not forgetting the death of Queen Elizabeth, our general election, and the American election of a new president. Whatever we think, if we are to reimagine the future for our nation and our world, we must continue on that well-worn path of being able to argue well and live creatively with difference. On Remembrance Sunday, in part at least, we think of what happens when arguments cannot be lived with. We think of those times when arguments have gone beyond words, when evil has had to be confronted, remembering with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts, past and present, have been given and taken away. As we all know, the evil of war remains. We watch our television screens, the horror that is happening right now, innocent people being killed, homes and neighborhoods being reduced to rubble. In these conflicts, differences cannot seem to be reconciled. Listening and learning is drowned out by shouting and shooting. The arguing, which in some way defines what is to be human, overflows into fighting and war. In these and so many conflicts, we mar God's image in us. But not all arguments are bad. Jesus argued. He was not meek and mild and all things to all people. Rather, he was often a pain in the neck who challenged people deeply. Jesus turned tables over, both metaphorically and physically. His arguing, though, often with those in power, spoke to the deepest longings of the human heart. For though he knew we're all different, he knew too that fundamentally, beneath all the posturing, the huffing and puffing, we all seek the same things. We long for love, friendship, welcome, acceptance, mercy, forgiveness, hope, and perhaps most important for today, peace. These are at the very heart of the good news of Jesus Christ and need to be heard afresh by every generation. In our passage from John's Gospel, Jesus was telling his disciples how much he loved them, that by obeying the commandments, they will remain in his love. Earlier in chapter 14, he told them he was leaving them, an absolute bombshell for them to take on board. But he was also trying to reassure them. In our reading today, Jesus said that they must love each other as he, Jesus, had loved them. He said, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends," as he did that Good Friday on the cross. Jesus chose us, you and me, because he loves us so much. What he did is accomplished. It's finished. There's nothing more to be done. So why do we find it so hard? Because sin, S-I-N, got in the way. That tiny word with I in the middle. Jesus' words in this chapter are the game changer. "This is my command, love one another." These are words that unite rather than divide. And as his followers today, we're challenged to take them off the page and live them. And in some small way, anticipate the kingdom of which Jesus often spoke. That means being determined to keep trying to argue well and hold what differences we have creatively. We are all different, and thank God we are. For if we weren't, then life would be rather dull. And because we're different, we argue. We argue about the little things. We argue about the big things. However, on this Remembrance Sunday, we come together as one to renew our commitment to seek all that makes for peace and builds up our common life, as a familiar prayer puts it. Faced with the evil of the world, we can sometimes feel powerless. We cannot do much about the ongoing wars in God's world. Only he can do that. But we can, in our lives, in our arguments and disagreements, strive to live a different way. So, my friends, if we are to be that for which we often pray, a people who seek peace and are agents of reconciliation in a divided world, whilst we'll always argue, let's strive to argue well, and by doing so, play our small part in building a world in which we all have a valued place, where none are left behind, and where all can live in peace. Amen.